I'm glad that you're here this morning. I cannot believe the way things are. I'm not talking about the stage and all that. I'm talking about 24 degrees and people sitting in here fanning. I told Brother Lloyd a while ago, I said, it's hot in here. And when I say it's hot in here, it must be disproportionately, you know, because. But then I looked around, I said, I'm not by myself because there are people all over this auditorium fanning. And I know the power company would be delighted if we would cut it back. I don't ever come to the pulpit without really searching my heart. Is this what ought to be said, should be said? And I know it's Christmas, and I know that we get in the gear of giving. But there's a lot of gifts. Where's that tree at? I saw a tree a while ago with some. Yeah, there's a lot of gifts like that. They're just dummies. They're boxes that are empty. Have you ever had a dummy gift? The gift that we get from God is not a dummy gift. It's rich. I want to talk to you from the 13th chapter of St. John. Just three or four verses. And I want to talk to you about the idea of a deal with the devil. And I said, Lord, it's Christmas. They want jingle bells and whatever. But a deal with the devil. Glad to see Sylvia back. Overcoming, been a long process of sickness. And glad to see Brother Frank and Sister Kathy back. He's been through medical problems, but they're in the house of God. Amen. And all the rest of you, we're just delighted. If I didn't call your name out, see me after church, and I'll say I'm glad to have you. John chapter 13 and verse number 27. Think about, have I made a deal yourself? Have I made a deal with the devil? After the sop, Satan entered into him, being Judas Iscariot. And when he had dipped, he said in verse 26, I'll read that, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simeon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. He inhabited his house, his body, his being. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. Father, let me speak your wisdom, your word, your truth. Let me speak it confidently, with conviction and compassion. Move upon this sanctuary, upon this auditorium, in this congregation by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You were born, created, ever how you want to phrase it, for one purpose. I know we add things to it, but it boils down to one purpose that you're here for. And that is fellowship with God. That sounded very simple, but it's true. There's nothing more valuable in God's eyes than our fellowship with Him. The only way we can have fellowship with Him is to walk in the light as He's in the light. We've got to have fellowship one with the other and fellowship with God. I can tell you the stronger my fellowship with God is, the stronger I am. the less apt I'm to be blown off a course. And there are people that start out in the Christian walk with blinding fellowship, passionate. They couldn't go to church too many times. Y'all don't. They couldn't do too much for God. It was always, I still want to do something. And that fellowship is what the devil is aiming at. He's not aiming at a lot of lesser things, but if he can come into my life and create anything to sever, to quench that fellowship that I have with God, then he's winning. Sin interrupts the fellowship that you have with God. Amen? Sin does. You need to be understanding about that. Now, God gave us people as an illustration about this fellowship. There are names in the Bible that when we call, we don't have to have anybody read to us a script. When we think about David, we think about the king over Hebron and Jerusalem. And we think about Bathsheba. We think about the highlights, the details, the things of David's life. When we think about Solomon, we think about the wisdom of Solomon, the wisest man. Elijah, we think about being translated. These things, Noah, we think about the flood. On and on you could go, names. But when we come to the New Testament and we call names that we call Simon Peter, we think about the boisterous man that's outspoken. We think about Thomas. When you call him out, you think doubting Thomas. Amen? But when you call the name Judas out, you think about traitor, betrayer. When you think about Judas, there's nothing that is positive in that application. He was a betrayer, a traitor in the things of God. What did he gain? I don't know the logic. I read commentary as well. He misinterpreted what Jesus. I don't know all that stuff. But we do know he made a deal. He made a deal. Something inside of him said, you can deal this thing. When you start worrying about making a deal with the devil, you're in trouble. Oh, God, help me. You do not make deals with the devil. You make no. You resist him, and he will leave you. But that's not what it says, is it? If you resist the devil, he will what? Flee, he'll run. He cannot survive a resisting Christian. Why is it that we resist God but we yield to the devil? Why is it that we resist God's dealing? I want you to sacrifice. I want you to get closer to me. I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice. And we resist that. But when the devil comes along and says, do this, do that, we yield to it. I'm telling you, we got to move from the devil's camp into God's camp. Amen? Judas said, I will deliver him unto you, oh my God. The devil, oh Lord, help me, has been wanting you to deliver Jesus unto him. Does that make sense? He's been after me, deliver Jesus, give up, deliver Jesus unto me. I will take care of him. Hudarabakayada. Somebody, I just feel God. Judas made a deal. What was his deal? 30 pieces of silver. Hold them in your hand. I don't know the value of them in today's market. It wasn't much. It wasn't much. It doesn't take much for some people to make a deal with the devil. God says, go to church. The devil says, stay home. Let's make a deal. Am I talking to you? 30 pieces of silver. Hold them in your hand. You got it, Judas. I'm illustrating the devil. Me and you got a deal going now. You got the money in your hand now. You deliver him unto me. Judas said to the scribes and Pharisees, "He that I kiss, Jesus wants more than a peck on the cheek from you." Y'all are quiet. "He that I kiss, I will make no mistake, no misidentification. When I kiss him, that's the man that you get." They come in that garden. Judas walks straight over to Jesus and kisses him on the cheek. One of the Gospels says, I read it concerning the supper a while ago, but one of the Gospels says that thou doest do quickly. Kissed him on the cheek. Now the scribes and the Pharisees have got Jesus, and Judas has got 30 pieces of silver. I don't know all the details of it, but I do know in my mind, I got common sense enough to know that Judas did not betray him just for the money. If it had been 30 million or something, but there was something going on beyond that. I think the devil had been knocking on his door. He's the money bag holder. Look out for, oh God, help me. So they reach over and they take Jesus and they arrest him. And Judas begins to have second thoughts. He's made a deal with the devil. The devil entered into, I read it to you. Wherever Judas is going now, the devil's going. Not some demon. The devil entered into him. I don't want to stretch it too far. Am I talking to anybody? And the devil made the deal with Judas. Jesus is taken away and the trial begins and all. Then Judas gets to thinking about, what have I done? I've done wrong. He feels remorse. Betrayal will always make you feel remorseful. I feel bad, he said. I know what I'll do. I'll undo my deal. It's easier to get into a deal than to get out of a deal. I know what I'll do. I'll go return the money and say, no, let's stop this thing. He goes back and he returns the money and they laugh at him. We got you. We don't want the money. We don't need the money. We got what we want in handcuffs, so to speak. Go on your way. I want you to watch with me for a moment. Cross that brook Kidron. The shadows of night are falling around. And there's a lonely man fleeting through the path, headed toward the Mount of Olives. He's got a rope in his hand. He's tortured and tormented. I betrayed the Son of God. How can I get it back? I betrayed the Son of God. He finds a tree in the garden. He fastens the rope to one end of the rope to the tree. Maybe he had to climb the tree or whatever. It took him more time to get the rope around the tree in the neck than it did to betray Jesus. He climbs up, he ties the rope securely around the tree limb, puts the other end of the rope around his neck. He sought repentance. You read the book of Acts? He went to his own place. Here's my persuasion. He could have repented if he would have accepted it. But you can stagger so deep in sin and darkness that you will not forgive yourself. You find it for God to speak to you and say, all you've got to do, Sister Elizabeth mentioned it, all you've got to do is bow before the cross, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. That staggers our mind. We can't believe that because we've done wrong and we feel like that we've got to do something to undo what we've done wrong. I know I'm preaching to you. So therefore, we start on a pilgrimage. We'll do this and we'll do that and we'll help this and we'll help that. That don't forgive you one iota. But it takes God to move somebody out of that pew this morning to this altar. And by their movement from the pew to the altar, they're saying, I'm guilty as sin. I'm guilty as night is from day. I'm wrong. I've done wrong. I've cursed God. I've violated. I've blasphemed. By the very walking to the altar, they're testifying. It takes God. But I'll tell you something else it takes. It takes God for that person sitting in the pew to keep their mouth shut. It takes God for us to keep our opinions to ourselves and understand that if God forgave them, the option is out of our hand. I don't care what they've done. We don't put them on 30 days probation. Go and sin no more, Jesus said. She hadn't been saved. She hadn't been forgiven 30 seconds. And he said, go. Get out of the sinning business. Get in the righteous business. And she went out. And he said to her, go and sin no more. And the Googlers looked at her. The Ooglers looked at her. The Pharisees looked at her. They see their people can't stand to see sinners forgiven. God help me. There are people that just eats them up. He's been the meanest man in town, and look at him. He's sitting on the church pew. Don't go to Allegood because I know some of those people over there, they've been rough as a rattlesnake, and look at them. Oh, shut up. It's hard. But when God operates upon a soul, he forgives. And he expects me to forgive from my heart. Amen. If you do not forgive from your heart, Judas puts that rope around the neck and he takes the leap and it's over. He's in eternity. If he had just understood the mercy of God and the grace of God and the love of God, he could have said, I did wrong. I betrayed him. I shouldn't have done it. I would to God I had not have done it. But I've done it, and what can I do now? Oh, have mercy upon me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Am I talking to anybody? 30 pieces of silver. What did he lose? He gained 30 pieces of silver. He gained what he was oogling after. He gained what he was striving after. He gained it. It's his by slight or trook, hook or crook. It's his. But he lost his soul. Somewhere in the billows of hell this morning, in the bottomless pit, falling over and over and over, screaming, crying out, Father Abraham, I need a drop of water. He's crying. Why? Because he made a deal with the devil. Am I talking to anybody? Somebody say, help him, Lord. I was made for fellowship with God. I wasn't made for other reasons. God created Adam, placed him in that garden, created him. God told him what to do, and God came down every day at a certain time and fellowshipped with Adam at the same place. Come on now, y'all. At the same time, Adam knew what to expect. The leaves would rustle, and that's God. There is God. I don't know, is it 9 foot tall? Is it 10 foot? I don't know all that. I just know it might have been blinding light. I don't know what it was, but Adam knew it was God. And God sat or stood or whatever and talked with Adam. At a certain time, at a certain place, God would talk to some of you if you get the certain time right. If you get the certain place right, he's used to talking to you over here in this house. And when you're in somewhere else, he's looking, where is he at today? He's watching channel 27 or channel whatever. I know I'm losing points, but I really don't care. I really don't care. fellowship with God is more important than anything on this earth. Being able to say, oh, Abba, Father, my God, don't, and being able not to say, why hast thou forsaken me? When you go through the fire, I'll be with you. When you go through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. Every day, certain time. I don't know how long. A few hundred years, a few thousand years, I don't know. But one day, God showed up at the certain time and the certain place, and Adam wasn't there. Do y'all see? Am I being too simple? This morning, all over the Eastern time zone, there are good gospel-believing churches that preach the Bible, and God visits them every service and blesses them. And there are people that stay home that didn't have to stay home. They lied to themselves. I'm sick. And you wasn't sick, you were lazy. And God says, I've been speaking to you in church, and I would much prefer to speak to you in the house of God. I cannot compete with HBO. Hello? Where are you going? To the sanctuary. What are you going to do in the sanctuary? I'm going to worship God. How are you going to worship God? With shouting, clapping my hands, shouting to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Why are you going to the sanctuary? Because somebody needs what I got. I'm going to have something that somebody don't have. And they're deficient, they're depleted, their batteries run dead. I'm going to sit beside them. I'm going to keep them stirred up. And when they leave the house of God this morning, they will say, I heard from God. Amen. Fellowship. And the great thing that goes on is the devil wants to break that fellowship. He wants to sever that relationship, that fellowship. The communion, listen to me now, the grace of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Walking down the street, driving down the road, looking out the window of your car or house or something, the communion of the Holy Ghost. Hello? And now they got the clock moved, so. They met, God and Adam met regularly. And then God gave Adam a helpmate, Eve. And population began to grow. But it was never the same. I got to take my time. It was never the same. It was so personal. It was so wonderful with Adam and God. Now Eve is brought into the picture. And the devil showed up in the garden and hissed his venom. And won their affection. Won the battle. The battle of the will. Do you hear what I'm preaching to you? The battle of the will. I will, but Satan won't let me. I will, but... You know. And then the population began to grow, and severed relationship with God